Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay for the GSMC Technology Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So, we have some really cool stuff to cover this episode, so let's just jump right in. So, the first one is pretty interesting one. Tony Hawk, I think, is a name that most people can be familiar with, even if you're not a skater, because I won't say I'm too into skating or anything like that, but I definitely do know that name. I'm familiar with Tony Hawk. He's done actually a lot of video games over the years. Many of them have been very popular. But I think I'd heard in the last few years they hadn't been so popular, been doing so well, and people hadn't been so excited or pumped for them or enjoyed them as much. So I don't think we've gotten a Tony Hawk game in a number of years. But some news has come up lately that kind of intrigued me, so I decided to bring it to this episode. So Tony Hawk has decided to go mobile. He's doing a mobile game. So for 3 years, Tony Hawk has been conspicuously absent from the video store shelves. For most game developers, that's little more than a blip between titles. When your name and face are attached to 16 titles in 15 years, however, everyone starts to notice when you're gone. That question was finally answered this week with the arrival of Skate Jam, the first of Hawk's titles created exclusively for a mobile platform. The game also marks the skater's first collaboration with mobile app acquisition group Maple Media, marking a split with longtime publisher Activision. The unceremonious end of the Activision deal left the future of the franchise in jeopardy, with Hawk exploring his options. Advances in mobile platforms, on the other hand, have made a smartphone version far more appealing than it would have been at the height of the franchise's success. Yeah, he says, like, you know, Maple Media came and said they would like to expand on their skate games. When I played their most recent engine, I felt that there was something there, akin to what I felt when I first played the most recent engine, THPS engine. As far as whether, of course, Skate Jam's release portends to the rebirth of the franchise, Hawk is admittedly a little bit more cagey. He explains that this team is more focused on building out the current title than committing to Pro Skater's annual release schedule. He says, "We're going to see a lot more development in terms of growing this title. It's much more streamlined, and we can do it on a regular basis. We're not planning to develop a new title per se, but are planning to grow and develop this one." Of course, Skate Jam is now available for Android and iOS. And, I think that this is actually a really good idea. I don't play a whole lot of mobile games, but I have had the chance to write about a couple of them. And I will say this, from the last time I played mobile games, they have gone leaps and bounds since what I had played. You know, I'm playing the very simple games. What was the last mobile game I played? Let's put it this way, it's been a while. You know, it was like Simple Tetris or something like that. It wasn't, you know, a whole, you know, expanded stories like they are now. I don't know if I've talked about this on this podcast before, but I remember when I got to play some of the first mobile games like Temple Run and like Angry Birds. And even though they were kind of simple games, they were a lot of fun at the same time. I had a blast playing Angry Birds 1 and 2. Temple Run was much more fun than I expected it to be. Heck, even Cut the Rope, which they've done many iterations, by the way, of Cut the Rope and Angry Birds, and they've even done at least a few versions of Temple Run, right? These are all games that you could probably play on your cell phone, but I have played them on a tablet, and I think it's better on a tablet. It's, you know, bigger screen and easier to touch and less easy to drop and things like that. But These are just some of the mobile games I've played. Now, mind you, there have been mobile games in like Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets called Cydia Alpha. There's been quite a lot of mobile games. Nintendo did a recent one called Mario Run. So there's like mobile games are this really big, really huge, really popular thing, right? They just are. And a lot of people play them. I don't know how often they're played on cell phones. I don't like hear like a mobile game just says, oh, you just play it on your cell phone. I don't see it as that. I think it'd be like, you know, cell phone, tablet, things like that, right? I don't see it on just cell phone. And I think, and again, I could be wrong, I think that some of the games, like, you know, you maybe there wouldn't be enough memory or enough battery power to play on a cell phone, but mind you, I could very well be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But, yeah, just from what I'm hearing of this game, it actually sounds like a pretty fun game. It's a good, I think, transition, because, like I said, like it said on here, Tony Hawk did a lot of games. A lot of games. And they had, like, some of the, like, last ones I remember hearing about. They had DLCs where, you know, you could skate as Gene Simmons and your tongue could grab the board. You could skate as Spider-Man, and there were DLCs and skins and things like that, which skins, by the way, are like, you know, the different skin for your character besides just a basic skater, right? Or Tony Hawk or whatever, like, you know. And I don't remember, like, I haven't actually played these games. I just know of them, but I've heard of people who have played them. They've really enjoyed them. They were really popular. Like I said, they did a lot of them. They did 16 of them in 15 years. I didn't know that, but that's a lot, you know. And I think just what happened to this series, as far as I can tell, is it probably just lost its steam and momentum, because that's so much to push out. Like, it's like a game a year. That's pretty intense. That's pretty crazy, you know. And I'd imagine finding a way to keep people interested in that wouldn't be an easy task by any means. It just wouldn't. So, yeah, I think going mobile is actually a really good idea. And it sounds like, as far as I can tell here, he's going to pace himself. It's like, hey, you know what? Like he's kind of like, because I think like when he was with Activision, they probably were going, okay, next game, and what's next, and what's next, and what's next. And I think that, like, it sounds like what I can hear, what I've, like, I'm hearing here is that he's like, okay, it's nice to do that, but let's just, like, you know, focus on this right now, and we'll go from there. Doesn't mean there won't ever be sequels. Won't mean like, hey, like, you know, this game is the only game. No, that doesn't mean that. It isn't the only Skate Jam, but I think he wants to take the time, you know, to make this a good game, a fun game, to fine-tune this game, maybe, like, you know, add new versions or updates or, you know, DLCs or things like that. I don't actually know if mobile games have DLCs, by the way. I'm just guessing. I'm spitballing here. But, you know, things like that, and see, like, you know, how the game does, too, is probably not a crazy idea, right? Probably a good plan to do that. Sounds a good plan to me. So, you know, he's kind of taking, it seems like, you know, at more slower pace, and I think that's a very good idea. I really do. You know, and Tony Hawk has actually kind of done a good job, a good for himself. He's done well for himself. You know, yeah, he may not be doing, skating probably as much as he was before, but you know what? He's still got a pretty good career for himself, you know, like, and mobile games seems like the next, you know, leap. And like I said, mobile games are something that are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more popular, right? Just like I said, Nintendo finally did a mobile game, and I'm assuming it's not going to be the only one they're ever going to do. I assume. I think most mobile games are free. I don't know if they're all free. I don't actually know if this one is free. I don't think it says, but if it isn't, I don't think it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, like a few dollars, you know. And, yeah, so if you were a fan of Tony Hawk's previous games and you've been itching for a number of years for a new game, this, you know, may be the game for you. It really might be. So it's iOS and Android, which means, you know, it can be on Apple and, like, you know, Android cell phones. But I would probably, this is just my, like, you know, opinion, probably better to play it on a tablet. That's just my opinion, you know, because you can get some tablets that aren't an arm and a leg, don't cost you an arm and a leg, and you can play it on there in just a bigger screen, and it might even, like, do them. I don't know if this game does this, but some of the games I played have, like, you know, when you move the tablet, there'll be, like, motion where, hey, you move this way or that way or up and down or things like that. So I would personally think that'd be easier to do that on a tablet than it would be on a cell phone. But that's just me. I mean, I could very well be wrong. If you have a high-end enough, you know, cell phone, it may be just fine. So, yeah, I'd say check this game out. And like I said, it's available on
iOS and Android now. So we're going to take ourselves a short little break and we'll be back in a moment with more technology news.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay back for some more technology news. So this is another one that we're going into robots again, robotics, you know. Unless if you've listened to enough of my episodes lately, you probably see a pattern there. It's just kind of the way it works out. But last week, a few episodes, we had some really weird, really creepy robots. They just were. They were like articles that you could just tell the people were kind of like, you know, a little creeped out by them. And I watched the videos and I was equally creeped out. The one for the freaking little doll head that moved its eyes and mouth, I couldn't get through the video. It was just too weird. So you're probably afraid, are we going to get more weird robot stuff like that this week? No. I am here to tell you, no, we're not. It's normal, great, actually pretty fascinating robot article. So this is actually about a shrinking drone. So researchers at the University of Zurich and EPFL have created a robot that shrinks to fit through gaps, a feature that could make it perfect for search and rescue missions. The researchers initially created a drone that could assess man-made gaps and squeeze through in seconds using only one camera. This extra feature, a scissor-like system to shrink the drone in flight, makes it even more versatile and allows these drones to react to larger or smaller gaps in nature. David Falanga, who is a PhD candidate, says, "The idea came up after we worked on quadrotor flight through narrow gaps. The goal of our lab is to develop drones which can be in the future used in the aftermath of a disaster, as for example an earthquake, in order to enter buildings through small cracks or apertures in a collapsed building to look for survivors. Our previous approach required a very aggressive maneuver. Therefore, we looked into alternative solutions to accomplish a task as passing through a very narrow gap without having to fly at high speed. The solution we came up with is the foldable drone, a quad rotor which can change its shape to adapt to the task. The system measures the gap and changes its shape without outside processing, a feat that really is quite exciting. All of the processing is done on board and it can be turned into an autonomous system if necessary. The team built the drone with off-the-shelf and 3D printed parts. The main difference between conventional drones and our foldable drone is in the way the arms are connected to the body. Each arm is connected through a servo motor, which can change the relative position between the main body and the arm. This allows the robot to literally fold the arms around the body, which means that potentially any morphology can be obtained. An adaptive controller is aware of the drone's morphology and adapts to it in order to guarantee stable flight at all times, independently of configuration, says Falanga. The team published a report on their findings in Robotics and Automation Letters. As IEEE notes, this is no flying drone dragon, but is a far simpler, cooler, and more effective product. So I actually got to see a short video of this, and I have to say, I was actually rather impressed. I mean, it's not a huge drone. It's, you know, but, like, they showed all these, like, different things, like, you know, its arms would fold this way or that way on its own. And, yeah, it was truly fascinating, especially after last week's robot articles. I'm like, it was a nice welcome change. It was like, okay, back to really cool, really interesting, you know, something you don't see every day, robots. You know, but beside that, I'm like, I was really impressed. I'm like, this is actually really cool. It's how it worked. It actually showed it could lift some objects and take them from one place to another.
It could lift things up outside of there. Heck, it could even go into these buildings and see, okay, like, you know, with its cameras, are there survivors? You know, are there people who are okay? You know, are there people underneath things? Stuff like that. And really assess, like, hey, is it safe for people to go in there and try to, you know, maybe relief efforts, you know, rescue efforts. So, yeah, this little drone could do a lot. It could go through a lot of different nooks and crannies and spaces, and it seemed like it was very easy to maneuver it. And it's, again, like a few-minute video, like a three-minute video. But, yeah, it truly did fascinate me. It seems like drones are becoming more of a thing. They're definitely becoming more, you know, of a technology, a more popular, well-known, common technology. But it's fascinating because I've talked about drones in here a couple of times. And what a number of different research teams are trying to do now is find new ways to make the drones smaller, more versatile, and able to do more tasks that, you know, could have really good benefits for just all parties involved, you know, and it could change, you know, how things are done. That's kind of how drones seem to be going. And if you watch the Ready Player One movie, drones are a big part of that movie. You know, it shows that, hey, they could deliver pizzas, they could, you know, drop bombs, they could be, you know, so much more than just, hey, there's these little robots that you can use to fly around and videotape stuff. You know, there's so much more to them than that, which is really kind of nifty and really kind of cool. And, you know, and then in even Venom, you know, you get to see, you know, drones are more than just, hey, there's like flying explosives. Like, that's not all they are, but you know what I mean. Like, drones are becoming more and more of a commonplace technology, and a technology that, you know, a lot of different research teams and scientists are trying to, you know, push their limits and find new ways to make them, you know, have all these kinds of things they don't normally come with, I think. I didn't say that perfectly, but you know what I mean. But, and yeah, when I heard this article, I'm like, some like a shrinking drone, and like, it doesn't like literally like, you know, like abracadabra shrink. No, but it just the way like, you know, they showed how simple it was for its like arms to bend and move and twist was really quite fascinating. It really was kind of cool. And it does it. They, like, whoever made this video, you know, bravo to you. Bravo. I mean that because you did a great job just showing everything it can do and all the implications and all the possibilities and all the things you hope for it to do. And like, you know, you did a great job just showing off this, like, really cool little drone. You really did, you know, and you showed how, hey, you know, you've seen drones before, but you haven't seen a drone like this. I mean, it was a really fascinating article. And, like, people like me who, let's face it, I'm not a robotics expert. I don't make robots in my spare time. I just don't do that. I'm sorry. It's not the way I am. I understood what was going on. I was able to follow what was going on. It wasn't like, you know, whoa, what is this? Or why is this happening? Or why is this going on? Or why are you doing this? Or why are you doing that? Or what is this? Or where is... No. I understood it, like, you know, from the like start to finish, you know, how you showed off everything, how you did everything. And, yeah, like, I believe you can find that on... you might be able to find that video on YouTube, I think. It's just Shrinking Drone is what it's called. And, yeah, it's only a couple of minutes long, but it definitely gives you a really good idea where they want to go with this thing, what they hope to do with this thing, and it's just kind of fascinating to watch, you know, because you're like, yeah, you've probably seen plenty of drones, but I really don't think you have seen a drone like this before. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you've seen one like this before. I don't know, you know, when this is going to be available or if it's going to be available to the public. I'm not really sure. I didn't really see a price point there, so I think this was just... basically, you know, hey, we're doing this. This is where we're kind of hoping to go with this. But there's still, you know, more for us to do and more to, you know, try and test and research and things like that. So it's one of those kind of things. Like, we're, hey, you know, we're starting the process. We've done some really cool, had really great results here and there. But, you know, it's not finished yet. But, yeah, but it's definitely a different kind of drone. It has, it's a very simple little drone, it looks like, and it seemed to me like it didn't seem too hard to use either. I didn't see them have any problems with it bumping into walls or crashing into things or smashing things. I didn't see any of those issues come up, which was, I thought, pretty nifty. I thought it was really kind of cool. And it sounds like they want to try to use this for relief efforts and rescue efforts, and I think that's a great idea because sometimes those, you know, situations get really nuts and, you know, people can't always necessarily do stuff. It's like, you know, so if these could, that'd be, I think, a wonderful leap and bound in that field. I really do. So, like I said, I'd definitely, you know, recommend checking this out, the little video on YouTube. And, like, you know, I want to hear more about this. I'll be sure to bring this to this podcast, you can bet, because this is actually probably one of the more fascinating robot stories I've checked out in a while. So we're going to take ourselves another short little break. We'll be back in a few moments with more technology news.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay back for some more technology news. So I've talked about here in the past, this is really kind of like, you know, our video game section, you know, like where some new video game is coming out or something like that. Well, you're going to hear about it in this, our, you know, final segment of the episode. And, you know, I'm a fan of Mario games. I have played most, not all, but most of the Mario console games. You know, the games that from, God, from like the beginning. From, like, you know, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, N64, GameCube. And then, like, Wii and Wii U, and now even Switch. You know, I've played a number of the Mario games on these systems. I can't say I've beaten all of them, but I've played them. And, you know, Mario was a very popular character. And the games are usually really, really good, really challenging, really fun games. Now, on the other hand, there are also some, you know, handheld games they do. And I've played a handful of these. And I mean that literally. I've only played, like, a few of them. Let's see, what have I played? I did get to play, and I actually got to play this again recently and finally beat it, is, I think it was Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga. I finally got to play and beat that. I had played it years ago on the Game Boy Advance, but I'd never really beaten it, because I got to a point where I thought I was stuck. I'm like, well, I can't get past the game anymore, so take a break from this, forget this. You know, that's kind of what happened. And, getting to play it again for a second time, I got to, you know, get a feel for, okay, how the game is, and go back to playing it, really get further into it this time, and really had a blast playing this game. But I haven't really played many of the handheld games. That's just the truth. You know, I didn't play Mario & Luigi Dream Team or something like that, or it was like Dream Saga or something like that, where I think Mario goes into Luigi's dreams, I think. I didn't play the handheld Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. I haven't played that. And there's another game I never actually played, but I know a little bit about it, called Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. Now, I never played this game before, like I said, and I'm going to be honest, I didn't really know a lot about this game at first. I don't know if this came out like toward the end of maybe the DS days, maybe is when it came out. And I didn't really play an enormous amount of the games on the DS anyway. I just didn't. This is the truth. You know, I had a Game Boy Advance. I didn't have a DS. So there were a number of games I missed out on. And I think some of these Mario games might have been on the DS, which is why I may never play them. It's a possibility. So anyways, so if you're wondering what the plot of this game is, like I was able to find it. And here's what it is. So, in his evil plot to take over the Mushroom Kingdom, Fawful tricks Bowser into eating a magic mushroom. The mushroom causes Bowser to begin inhaling everything around him, including Mario, Luigi, and Princess Peach. Do the Mario Brothers have the guts to rescue Peach and escape? In addition to the game's revamped graphics and refined gameplay, there'll be a new side story which follows Bowser Jr. as he gathers an army, creates formations, supports his allies with an arsenal of moves, and generally causes chaos in the best way possible. So, it sounds like from what I do know of this game, because like I said, I think it was last year at E3, I got to play, a little bit, or at least did I get to play it or did I just see it? Where it was, because they did Like, I want to say earlier this year, if not late last year, they came out with a revamped version of Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which had originally on the Game Boy Advance, and it had on it a new story mode, too, where you got to play as some... it was plus Bowser's minions. And it sounds like this game is going to be similar to that, where it's going to have technically two stories in one. I didn't actually beat Bowser's Minions, but I played it a little bit, and it's kind of like that game was kind of like, okay, you're like seeing another like side quest, another chapter, or another perspective, maybe even be better, of that story, where, okay, you know, the minions are going around to try to, like, you know, stop certain bad guys and try to, like, you know, right, find their, you know, Bowser. And it wasn't a bad game. I can't say I loved it. I can't say it blew my mind. But what I played of it, it was fun. It was enjoyable. It was, you know, not bad. It was kind of interesting. But, yeah, it wasn't something I'd say to write home about either. And it sounds like with Bowser Jr., they're going to do something similar. We're going to be another story within a story, you know, so... like another part of the story, another chapter of the story, you know, so, things like that. And yeah, this game, like I said, I haven't played it before. But it didn't look bad. It looked interesting. It sounds interesting, actually, because I guess there's parts you can actually play as Bowser, and then there are parts where you play as Mario and Luigi inside Bowser, and I guess there's, like, a way you can, like, control Bowser as Mario and Luigi inside Bowser. It sounds kind of confusing, I'm not going to lie. But, it might be fun. It could be a fun game. It really could be. I mean that. So yeah, I'm intrigued about this game. I'm tempted to play it just because I haven't played it before. You know, I really haven't, and I'm kind of, you know, disappointed I haven't. I'm like, you know, disappointed myself that how have you not played this? I don't know. I haven't. all I can really say is some way somehow I haven't played this game. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't really have an explanation there of why I haven't. Just for some reason, I haven't played this game. I don't know why. I wish I had an explanation or a reason why I haven't played this. Why? I don't know. I have no clue why I haven't. I haven't. It's just the way it is, you know? But, if you have played this game, you might want to play the new version of this. You might have fun. You might enjoy it. It seems like, you know... but I think it's also a game where if you haven't played it before, it might be, you know, worthwhile to play it again and kind of like, you know, it will be, like, one thing I did notice for the Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga was, yeah, the graphics were definitely better. That's just a fact. I almost say that might be able to go without saying, but it was definitely better. It was almost seemed like the gameplay was a little bit better, because I swear on the Game Boy Advance it wasn't as easy to play as it was for this one, and I truly mean that. Yeah, and it seems like it's going to be a fun side-scrolling game, a interesting little chance to either play this game again if you did like it, or try it out for the first time if you've never played it before. So it sounds like that's, you know, those both are on the table. And by the way, if you were wondering, the... second one is Bowser Jr.'s Journey. That's what it is. And this game is coming out in the 3DS. It's also playable on 2DSs. And, yeah, you know, I don't know if it's a game you have to run out and play now. I think it's going to be a game where either if you liked it, you might play it again. If you haven't and you've attempted to, this might be a chance to play it. And this game... I don't know. I'm tempted to. I'm not going to say for me it's a game I must play tomorrow, you know, or why can't I play this game now? I won't say I'm in that place, but at the same time, I can't say I don't want to play it either. I can't say that, because it sounds different, and I think that's kind of a good thing, and that's kind of how Mario & Luigi's Superstar Saga was, which I hope I'm saying that right. I think I'm saying that right, you know? I mean that. I think that, like, you know, I was saying that right, and that was a really fun game. I really enjoyed it. I did. So I think this one could be on a similar level where, hey, it's Mario and Luigi again, but they're in a situation they're not used to, and it's something different and new and exciting. And this game does come out on January 11th next year, so, you know, it's almost the holidays. It'll be there before we know it. I'm sure you can probably pre-order this now on a number of different websites, you know, like Target or GameStop or something like that, or Best Buy. You know, or even on the Nintendo website themselves, you know. So, yeah, I would say check it out. And if you haven't played it before, or if you have, you know, here's a chance to play it again. Maybe have some younger generations play it. Because I want to see this game originally might have come out at least a few years ago. So, yeah, so it looks like it might be fun and kind of cool and exciting, and I'm definitely intrigued about the game, that's for sure. I don't know if it's going to be the greatest game ever, but I'm definitely curious and intrigued by it. So that's all we have for this episode of technology, you know, this technology podcast. I hope you had a lot of fun and learned some really cool things, but don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news.